Father of grace and mercy, we thank you again for your gifts. We pray that you would continue to strengthen us through your Holy Spirit that has won the fight for us. Bless us now in our daily battle. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There's a war going on. It's not the one that you've been watching in TV between Saudi Arabia and Iraq or Iran. It's not the war of the battle of the wall between immigrants and Trump and the government. It's a war you can't avoid. It's a war you can't get out of by turning the TV off and just staying out of the news. It's a war that's battled at your workplace, in your homes, in your private time. It's a war with you at the center. It's a war that wages between the evil one that wants to pull you into the traps of unbelief and in all of these things that St. Paul lays out for us. It's a war that's personal, and you are exactly in the center of it every day of your life. St. Paul says it this way, "For the desires of the flesh are against the spirit, and the desires of the spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things that you want to do." There's a war between the Spirit of Christ that was given to you, watered and worded into you and into Lakin this morning. There's a war between that Spirit that lives in you and your old sinful flesh that you were born with and that sin that you inherited from Adam and Eve. And this war is for life. Your life, to pull you away from the promises and the hope and the forgiveness that Christ has given to you. Don't be deceived. This war wages every single day in your world, and the evil one is unrelenting, trying to convince you to walk in a way of life that is not what St. Paul talks about in the text today. This war fights, and you are at the very center, the very ground zero of it is in your life and in your mind and in your body. Now, you can tell very clearly if you're winning the war or if you're losing the war by listening to some of the things that St. Paul lists today. St. Paul lists a number of things, and as we read them, we don't want to read them. We don't want to realize that these things that are going on in our minds and our bodies are a result of us losing that battle that day with the evil one. Paul goes on and says that sexual immorality, if that's prevalent in your life, you're losing the battle. Sexual immorality, and we certainly have to include pornography and all the things that society says are okay. If that's a part of your life, you are losing the battle. Impurity, Paul goes on to say. Thoughts and words and deeds that are not pure. If your language is blue, if your jokes are off color, that's a part of this battle. Paul says, sensuality, which is indecent behavior as we play that out in our lives. If that's a part of your life, you're losing the battle. Impurity of thoughts, words, and deeds. Idolatry, any other god that you are worshiping and serving and putting that god above the one true God of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you're losing the battle. Sorcery. We might not think that's something that we have to deal with, but reading your horoscope or a Ouija board or white magic or a palm reader or voodoo, it's all sorcery. It's all an open door for the evil one to come into your world and pull you back into the darkness of sin and death. Enmity, which is hatred that you will not forgive. Strife, which we could translate as drama in your world. Jealousy, refusing to see things clearly and being overzealous. Fits of anger, which certainly include refusing to forgive. rivalries, unhealthy rivalries, dissension, tearing down other people, divisions where it's us against them instead of trying to pull the people together, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. Paul isn't writing an exhaustive list here, and he isn't saying only these things are evident of us losing the battle. But if these things are evident in your life and things like these, the battlefront is clear, and you might not be winning or might not be as confident that you're winning as you should be. Whether the sin is big or small, your old Adam, your sinful nature, wants to win the fight. And it continues to go on in your life every single day. So many people think that a life of faith will suddenly remove all of those temptations and all of those desires away from us. In most people, that's not the case. In fact, the battle intensifies when we gather here. The battle intensifies because the evil one sees he's losing the fight. You're here with the victor. You're here receiving his words of promise and hope. You're here resting in Jesus and his forgiveness for the times when you've lost the battle, and the evil one hates that and will do whatever he can to pull you away from that. If you continually look for more ways to surround yourself with sin and evil, you are losing the battle. And eventually you will lose the war if you continue to put yourself in that position. When given any choice, our old sinful nature will run to the evil every time. As surely as a dog runs back to its vomit, our old evil nature will run to Satan and to the things that pull us away from Christ. It's not hopeless. It might sound like it, but it is not hopeless. The battle, remember, the war has been won by Christ on the cross when he died and rose again, and the battle that wages on in your world every day is certainly winnable. Winnable against those daily temptations that seek us. There's some great examples in the scripture. One of the best ones is Joseph. Joseph, being a fine young man, Joseph's boss, if you will, sees him and trusts him and puts him in charge of his household and everything that goes on in the family. And Joseph is running the household of his master, Potiphar, very well. And in fact, everything Joseph does prospers the household. If we would translate Joseph into our modern day understanding of things, we might say, oh, Joseph was fine. Fine looking, fine upstrapping young man, fine in doing all the things he could do, and it didn't go unnoticed by Potiphar's wife, who saw him, that he was fine. And daily, Potiphar's wife would continue to entice Joseph, come, lay with me. And Joseph resisted. And then one day, when the house is empty and it's just Potiphar's wife and Joseph, she corners him. She grabs his robe. She wants to lay with him. The temptation is before Joseph. And Joseph's reaction is exactly the reaction that we should have most times. Joseph ran out of the house. Remember, she had a hold of his coat or his clothes, and he left with nothing on. But that was far better than being caught in the temptation of what might lie there with him. Joseph ran, and that's the advice for us. When we are tempted, the easiest way to get out of that is to run, to not be where the temptation is, to remove yourself from that, to get away from the temptation so that it will not continue to plague you. Run. Don't be in the place where the evil is. Someone said the best way to avoid a fight is not to be there. If your friends are causing you to fall into these temptations, you need to change friends. If the websites that you're going to and the places that you're at and the movies that you're watching are leading you into temptation, you need to change that. You need to run from that evil. because that evil is powerful. There's another way to deal with the evil of the world, and that's the model that Jesus himself gave us. Jesus is baptized, he is inaugurated into his holy ministry, if you will, and as Jesus is there, the first thing that happens is he's led up in the wilderness to be tempted for 40 days. Matthew records three specific temptations that were against Jesus, and each time when the evil one would present this great temptation for Jesus, he would answer in the same way. It is written. The Word of God. It is written in the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit that we talked about with the kids. That's the way to fight the fight. It is written. The hope that we have, the strength that we gather to resist the evil one from the temptations that he assails us with, is the Word of God. Being in that Word every day in our devotions, being in that Word as we gather and worship and that Word is preached into our ears, that very Word of God as we sing back the liturgy to him, these are the things that strengthen us for the fight that lay ahead. The other way to look at this, to fight this fight, is the gift our Lord has given to us in the very prayer he taught his disciples to pray. We know it as the Lord's Prayer. A very special part of that prayer, when we pray, it says, and lead us not into... We pray to our Father that he would protect us from every evil of thought, of every evil of the eyes, every evil deed that I may do. We pray that he would protect us from this. And he does. He keeps his word. He strengthens and encourages us through the gifts of faith that he's given to us. The greatest mistake we make when dealing with temptations is to think, I've got this. That won't bother me. Or maybe just looking a little, or maybe just a little bit more gossip because it's so good. That's the greatest temptation as we open the door for the evil one to come in. Dear baptized saints, you do not fight this battle alone. You fight it with the one that has already won the war, Christ the victor, Christ the triumphant one, who wins the battle and fights with you and for you. In the last days of Jesus' life, it looked like the war of Satan really was won. Jesus arrested, crucified, put on the cross, a mock trial, all of the things that led up to that, and it seemed there wasn't anything to do to stop this great evil. But there on the cross of Christ, the evil was won when Jesus did this, when he gave up his life, when he breathed his last for you. Jesus, the great and triumphant one, was the one who gave up his life, his holiness, and as he gave that holiness up on the cross, he gave it to you, taking all of your sins upon himself. Our Savior won the war with Satan, and he no longer has complete dominion over you. The war was won through Christ. The gift of forgiveness given to you this day, the gift of forgiveness won for you completely through Jesus on the cross. Jesus said, he told to us, come to me, all of you who are weak and weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You see, Jesus calls us to rest in him, to Sabbath in him, when the evil one seems to be around us and tempting us on all sides. He says, come and rest in me and my forgiveness, and I will give you peace. Jesus said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Not only did the Holy Spirit come to you in your baptism, as it did to Lakin this morning, but that baptism is still valid and powerful. When you are tempted by the evil one, call on that very sword of the Spirit. Make the sign of the cross, remembering that Christ and his promises to you still are true. Still are more powerful than any evil one, than any temptation that Satan can put upon you. St. Paul lays out pretty clearly at the beginning of the epistle today what it looks like when we lose the battle. But he also puts in at the end of the epistle for today what it looks like when the battle is being won, when these things are evident in your life. Love as you love your neighbor. Joy and peace and patience. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. This isn't an exhaustive list, but these are the kind of things that show when you're winning the battle, when you're living in faith, when you're fighting the temptations of the evil one and living in the battle, in the one battle that Christ your Savior has given for you. The war is over. Christ won, and he walks with you in your battle each and every day. In the name of Jesus, amen. And now may the peace that passes all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.